You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you all here to be sitting in this very warm and gentle place today. I want to thank you again for the opportunity to welcome our UCLA students here, to have them experience what it means to be in worship in this community. Because as you understand, UCLA started this week 3 days ago. And so we are on a new journey together. And for Wesley Foundation serving UCLA, this begins our 88th year of ministry with and of and by students. And I truly think that is something we can celebrate. Because, you know, it's all about celebrating and living into what God calls us to be and how we share our faith and our love with our entire community, not just within these pews and within these walls, but in our very neighborhoods, in our families, and in our workplaces. And so many of you can see there's students here. How many of you are UCLA alum? We'll start there, because I know it's a touchy question here. Okay, how many of you are Wesley students or UCLA students currently? There's some faces over. Okay, and we have some in the loft, too. I want to say that's also awesome. Because this is part of who we are and who we are called to be is together. And so our ministry, as you can see, is very vibrant and engaged and growing. And that is due in part to the faithfulness of this community, for your participation, for your opening your doors and your hearts, and for your generosity that sustains the work we do every day, and I do mean every day, on campus. Our students that you see represented here today exemplifies what it means to be in community and in relationship with our college students, from those who have grown up as United Methodist and to those who are curious and courageous enough to join us at the 580 Cafe or in worship or in other activities on campus to learn more about God and others and what that means and may mean in their life and the life of this world. And so because of that, we do welcome all to the 580 Cafe, which is our space up at the St. Albans Church. And we do that to engage students, to help them deal with the struggles and the realities that they may encounter when they come to university. And so truly, we help and engage students to celebrate life, to engage God, and to love all and all creation. And just on a very personal note, although the people involved are not necessarily present, some of you may have noticed I have this lovely new robe. If you don't, watch me walk down the aisle. I'll be floating along. That Beverly and Bryden Shirk gifted me with. And that's just one more of those ways, the small and simple ways that people use their gifts and talents to bless myself, to bless our students with the cake that we'll be sharing, thanks to Shirley, afterwards to celebrate our students and our ministry. Those types of small gestures really are the foundation of what it means to develop relationship outside of the box, outside of church, and in God's beloved world. And so I am going to look at this passage from Jacob. It's a story from the Old Testament, which we don't spend a lot of time with sometimes. And it's a story that can be very confusing because it's like, what's up with this? Who wrestles with God and walks away hurt, then happy? It's kind of curious, to put it mildly. But what we do is when we wrestle with the unknown, especially in difficult situations, in new places, and conflicting ideas, and most especially with unrecognizable foes or faces, we may wonder, where is God? We find God maybe absent, or question, can God be here? Can God be in this space, in the traffic on the 405? Can God be here on the campus at UCLA in my lab? I'm not so sure that's, you know, where I expect to see God. But we can find God in the midst of the struggle, and that's what the scripture tells us, that the God is also within, and our response to that God, and the presence of the Holy pervades everything. So we know there is a God in this story that isn't afraid to go to the mat, not only for us, but with us. Jacob, you know, was kind of a scoundrel. He has a very checkered story. He comes from a dysfunctional family. He and his two wives, another model of biblical marriage, and his two concubines, yes. That's one way we talk about marriage in the Bible, let's not forget. And his family. We're going back to make amends to the brother that he stole his birthright from. And he was doing this to respond to God, to hope for a blessing. And he didn't feel that he deserved it necessarily, because he'd done a few things that were probably not the best. And he was a little apprehensive. So he sends his wives, his children, and his crew across the river. And he goes by himself. And as you recall, Jacob probably never spent a lot of time by himself because he was, number one, a twin. So he was wrestling in the womb with his brother Esau even before they became born Christians and or born children. He had to always be with someone. So him to be alone was unusual. And I want to think about that. It's when we face that space by ourselves, when we no longer have our family, our community, the things that make us comfortable, when we feel isolated and separated from that which we rely on. This is the context of our story. And so it's the story of God's relentless embrace for us, God's intent pursuit for those of us, no matter what our backstory is, to seek God and to honor God, and to know and share in the God's blessings, not just for us, but for our community and family. And in many ways, when I think of this story, I think of our life at the 580 Cafe with students and how we work through the Wesley Foundation to extend that kind of grace and opportunity to explore. Because as many of you realize, going to college is and continues to be a daunting and unfamiliar experience. It can be soul-rending and heart-numbing. It can be frightening, and it can also be very tempting. And it can also become a place to explore who we are, what we believe, to question and to raise doubt and to wonder, just what is this life of mine? What does it mean? Where is God in the midst of all of these things? And so we struggle, we wrestle too, sometimes actually literally, because, you know, there's kids and we can kind of get a little active in our carryings on, just going to say. But it's in great fun. But when that fun turns into, what does it mean if God loves me? What do I do with that? And so we begin to wrestle with the questions of our identity, our belonging and blessing and brokenness that we bring to the table to share with each other, to be present with students as they begin to explore who they are, what they believe, what God is calling them to do. Even when the church or their family or the society would deny them the opportunity or say, no, you can't do that. You need to be a doctor. You can't be an artist. Or, you know, you can't go to that church because that's not what we believe. And so we try our very best to offer them Christ, but in a very literal way. We offer them compassion and hope and relationship, inspiration, sanctuary, and truth. The ability to find a place to rest, to struggle in safety, and to really be part of the exploration rather than having all the answers. We do this specifically by providing them something to eat, to quiet the hangry times in our souls, someone to talk to, someone to listen, someone to laugh with or cry with, or go find a place to sit down, and even, yes, someone to hug. It's a place where we help each other remember our own dignity and worth, to encounter with each other the holy and the divine amidst the chaos and the fear and, yes, the unrelenting joy. By recognizing that in each face that comes through, whether it's a student, a faculty, a person from the street, a congregation member who drops by to drop off food, we recognize these are the faces of God in our midst. We recognize in the struggle that we're trying to know a God that sometimes will challenge us, will call us out of our current behavior and make us think about what's a better way or a different way of being involved. And so where our struggle is to know this God in all God's incredible ways, to claim our own blessings and the blessings for everyone, our yearning and desire to be whole and holy, it becomes more real and more clear. And it moves us from our singular narcissistic response to just get mine and more for me into our true corporate call as a Christian to live as the body of Christ in our world, on our campus and in our communities. And yes, it's also for us to help live intentionally into our California Pacific mission for the annual conference, to be passionate followers of Jesus Christ so that all may know God's life-giving love. And so the lesson we can take away from Jacob's struggle with God is described by a colleague and friend, a Benedictine nun, Sister Joan Chittister. Some of you have read her things. She's why the Pope looks good. She says, Jacob does what all of us must do if in the end we too are to become true. He confronts in himself the things that are wounding him. He admits his limitations. He accepts his situation, and he rejoins the world and moves on. And he is blessed. He is blessed. So we are learning that our blessing comes with our struggle, that if we have an easy path, we may yet have not encountered the living God that calls us into life. We learn that there is a God that we can hold on to, that we can struggle with, the God of justice, the God who isn't afraid to wrestle with us through the long nights of fear and concern and frustration, the God who comes so close to us that we can feel God's breath on our face and God's sweat on our palms as we wrestle with the big struggles and challenges in our life. And we may come away bruised or scarred, and like Jacob, maybe even injured to the point of changing his gait in how he walks. But we come away forever changed. We come away broken, but blessed. And then we are shared with the world. And if you hear that message, we are broken, we are blessed, and we are shared, we truly become the embodiment of Holy Communion in the world. We live as communion, as sacraments to a world that struggles to know their value, their peace, and God's joy. And so the world may not always seem friendly. The world may not always know God, but the world can't know God if we don't live this out. And so my friends, students, I encourage us to continue to grow with God, to wrestle and struggle with God as a plant wrestles and struggles to grow. It's deepening its roots. It's sending up shoots. It deepens its roots in the soils of struggle and the impediments of rocks. It's watered with the tears of joy and doubt. Let us struggle to claim and proclaim that God's love and blessing is for all God's people and all God's creation. Let us continue in the struggle. Let us continue in love. And let us continue to be God's living sacrament in our lives. May all this be so.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodvillage.org. www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.